For today, we do want to chase our theme that we've started this morning, okay? And that's the theme of spiritual gifts. And so you were in, was it 1 Corinthians 12 this morning? If you're in your Bible studies, that's what you were dealing with. And kind of how God is gifted, and God is the giver of the gift. And there's no, it's not based on who we are, you know, so it's not like I've earned an extra gift. So for some of you video gamers, you know, you play and you get a certain amount of points and you get a new weapon or you get a new thing, new life. It's not that way as a Christian. It's not like, okay, I've been a Christian for 10 years, now I get another gift, all right? God just has decided in his sovereignty who he's going to gift how, who's going to get one, who's going to get 10. That's just his plan. And so we work together with that and we trust his plan. I'm very thankful to be a part of it. But for us today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, also looking at a few different gifts. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there shortly. But let's talk first, all right? I always like to talk for me. This is just kind of a way to maybe break the ice or to connect with you here this morning. So the title today is The Greatest Gifts, and what is that a picture of? What is it? That's the earth. Yeah, it's supposed to be, all right? So that's the earth. And I was going to title this The Greatest Gifts on the planet, but some of these gifts are not from the planet, and so anyway, it'll be the greatest things we can experience here, all right? So we're going to talk through some great gifts here, but I want you to think, and then I want you to share with me, what is maybe one of the greatest gifts you've ever received here? We're going to deal with things spiritually. I understand you got your church clothes on, you got your Bible in your lap, so everybody's thinking what? Salvation, all right? Jesus, he's the greatest gift. And we'll talk through that a little bit this morning. But just in kind of a physical way, like on a birthday or a Christmas or a random Tuesday, what's like one of the great gifts that you've received that really kind of just meant something to you? The gift of a spouse, okay? So that could be, man, that's getting way up. I was thinking like fleece pajamas. That's where I was at. That's the realm. That's where I'm working at. I am very gifted, all right? I'm working way below my pay grade in my marriage, and you guys understand that. Okay, spouses. Psalmist said children, they are a gift from the Lord. Okay, so we've got those two covered, three covered. Anything else, like just like a favorite presence, just sometime in your past or maybe recent here, just, oh, man, just loved it. Could have been huge, could have been not a whole lot of anything. A puppy. You got a puppy?
I don't have one now. I had one.
You had one. Oh, when you were little? And that left an impression on you for the rest of your life?
Yep.
You're making me very nervous. What else? Live without it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Who knew? Electric brooms, right? They tell us not to buy gifts that plug in or have to recharge, and yet some of them are on the good side. Somebody else, what do you think? What's been a great gift? Yeah. Oh, cool.
So that gets stuck.
Yeah, yeah. You probably don't have the bike anymore?
No.
Nope. Yeah, but it's left a mark, right? Yeah, great gift. Yes, sir.
God's been good to me. He gave me the gift of life twice. Now, those who have never been there, not familiar with what I'm going to say, there's a time I laid on a gurney.
Wow.
So he gave me the gift of life the second time.
Hmm. Yeah, it could be the third time, right? Physical birth, spiritual birth. Yeah. You're starting to sound like a cat. Yeah? You have 9 lives.
No, I'd rather compare me to adults.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay.
My mom gave me a snowing ornament for my Christmas tree, and it has started a whole thing for me. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite things.
Okay. So, a Christmas ornament, all right? A snowman. And now Melanie hoards snowmen.
Yes.
Pretty much, right? Okay, anybody else? You got just a gift that's kind of like, it was a great gift. Maybe it didn't change your life. Maybe it did, but.
I got a box of tissues
1 year. Uh-oh. She got a box of tissues 1 year. And I would never advocate that. That was a pretty risky move. I didn't know it at the time. Looking back on it, I was like, here, you're going to need this after our conversation. It's like, what? Yeah, right. And I didn't think of that. I was so excited. I wouldn't see anything. I was scared, nervous, excited. That's a good gift. You got a good gift? The gift of your dog? Yeah, that was a good gift, right? Yes, it was. What else? Anybody else, you have a good gift idea? All sorts of them. You know, I shared with you, I got a gift, my world's greatest dad medallion. Or I got a poem, or I got these little notes that just kind of describe me. So those were some great gifts. I was really serious about the fleece pajama pants. They're pretty fantastic. And cold weather, I mean, they're just super comfy, super light. No big deal, right? They're not going to change my life. They don't impact me for eternity. But been blessed to receive some great gifts. And some not very significant, and some really significant, right? And some just still yet working in our life. So I want to talk today about some great gifts that we can receive and maybe we have received, but also I want to talk about giving and the gifts that we can give in return. And this may sound like a Christmas message. I was kind of thinking that as I was preparing it, but nonetheless, that's where my heart and mind and the Word, how they aligned this week. So that's where we're at. So if you've got a Bible, we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. So as always, you can follow along in your bulletin. Or you can watch on the wall, look there. If you have a Bible, obviously, you can turn there. But what's going on here in this letter? Paul's writing to these people that he'd never met before. He had heard that they'd become believers, and he wanted to write to encourage them about some things. So he said, here's the truth. I'm going to state for you the facts. Paul's kind of writing Rome or to the Romans like a lawyer would be working in a courtroom. These are the facts, or how a lawyer should be working in a courtroom. This is what really happened. And so he talks about the greatness of God, and he talks about the sin of man, and he talks about how we've made a mess of things, and then he goes on for several chapters to talk about how God's making everything beautiful and right, perfect. And then we get to this chapter here in Romans chapter 12, where he's going to start talking about some of these gifts. So we'll read these, and you can follow along either in your Bible or bulletin or the wall, and we'll progress here this morning. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, what's that say? Let us use them. Let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If it's ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right? So here we've got seven different gifts that Paul's going to outline as it relates to the church and kind of how it relates to you and I today. So we're going to work through this. Three great gifts, three of the greatest gifts ever that I pray we all are partnered with and part of, because God has designed us, created us, fashioned us to be a part of these things. So here this morning, I want to do a little role play. Since this is our Youth Sunday, if we had maybe like three people who would kind of volunteer, I want to use you in a scenario here. Anybody? You don't have to be young. There's one, two. You're going to read. You want to act. And there's three. All right. All right. We can go that route, I guess. And I need a reader. You want to be a reader? All right. So I'm going to turn this microphone on. Now, if you snore, it's going to pick up. So try to keep that to a minimum. All right.
What am I reading?
In just a minute, we'll put some text on the wall, and you can read. All right. So in the beginning, let's see here. Bring me you two. We'll start this way. All right, Libby, you can have a seat for a minute. Scoot back this way, girls. So in the beginning, God created things, everything, right? And so which one of you wants to be God? Okay. So here we have God, all right? And here we have what's going to represent people, all people. So initially, everything was perfect. So why don't you guys just kind of like hold hands, smile at each other, give a high five, fist bump. All right, so the relationship was tight. It was perfect. It was right, okay? But there came a point where there was sin. And so when sin came in the world, so you guys probably remember the story when Eve took of the fruit and she sinned and passed it to Adam and he followed right in suit, right? You remember that story? Sin entered the world at that point. What happens is this. They had a close relationship, God and people, but because of that sin, now there was separation. So Lucy, you stand there in front of Libby. And Landry, you stand right there, just kind of face everybody, okay? So here's what's happened as a result of sin. So let's go to our first verse here, because this relates to everybody. What have we got, Miss Elaine?
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
All right, so all have sinned. All includes who? We said this last week. All means all, and that's all means, okay? So Lucy and Landry, I want you to stand like this, face everybody. Can you turn that way? Maybe that way? Turn your feet, sister. There you go. All right, now what I want you to do, I want you to keep your feet planted. Don't move your feet and try to reach each other. Hard. Stretch. All right, so what we're seeing here, there is no possible way that sinful people can reach to God. And there's no possible way other than what we're about to talk through where God could have a relationship with sinful people. So because of our sin, there has been a separation in relationship. There's been a separation in our union or in unity or how we've been created. And so on our own, what we've seen is that we cannot reach. We cannot make that relationship right with God. So we need some help. And so let's go to Romans 6:23. What does Romans 6:23 say?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, so God has looked at our situation, and he said, we need a what? We need a bridge. We need a gift, right? We need a great gift, because if this is ever going to coexist, then we need a bridge. We need a gift. By the way, if this remains as it is, then people will forever spend their life separated from God here and forever separated from God in eternity in a place the Bible calls hell, fully separated. So if there's never a bridge, if there's never a gift given, then this relationship always is separate. All right, now, Miss Libby, come stand up here. God was not willing to leave us in a position of separation. We could do nothing to reach him, and so he has reached to us through his son. So we're going to call you whom?
Jesus,
okay? And Jesus came into this earth. What Miss Elaine read for us was that the wages of sin is
death.
And so every one of us have sinned. Okay? The only way Landry and Lucy could ever get back together is if Landry could get perfect, have her sin removed. And she couldn't remove her sin by herself. And so God sent the perfect gift to take on her sin, so all your sins being transferred right here, so that Jesus, when he hung on a cross, all right, he would die. And when he would die, he paid the price for sin so that people could be reconciled with God. Okay? So now, let's see this. Landry, can you reach Jesus? People? And God reaches Jesus? All right? And he's the go-between. So this is the perfect gift. This is the perfect gift. This is absolutely what we need for there to be a relationship between us and God. And without Jesus, it doesn't happen. Now, let go for just a minute. Jesus was in a borrowed tomb. Why was it borrowed? He didn't have one, and he really wasn't going to need it very long, right? No reason to make a big investment. So Jesus was put in a tomb for 3 days, and he was resurrected. And the Bible says that he was seen by many people. He went out and commissioned the church with his plan, and then he ascended. But I wonder if Jesus, when he came out of that tomb, if he gave just a little victory dance. Can you give us a victory dance? Oh, you can't? How do you think he would come out? Just like that? Oh, it's Sunday. Now, I think he danced around. I think he had a big time. Yeah, I think it was just victory, right? Victory, and that's part of what we sung about today. That was part of our scripture reading today. I think he celebrated that because just as it was the will of the Father to crush and bruise the Son, it was also the will of the Father to do that, to pay the price for our sin so that we could be made right with God. So the greatest gift we could ever receive is whom? Jesus. All right? Jesus is the greatest gift on the planet. And God's made this very clear to us how we can receive this gift. And so let's read these next few verses here out of Romans. Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13. Yep.
If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
All right, so what that tells us is this. God is not like this enforcer God. I have died for you. Let's not do that. And you're going to be saved whether you want to or not. What he does is call to us. So reach out. Can you reach to her, Landry? Lucy, can you reach to Jesus? Now, God, call to the people and ask them to come to you. All right, can you go to Lucy? Just walk over to her. You can. All right, so come back over here. And so now we've got this beautiful relationship here with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit present within us. All right? And so what God has done through Jesus, when we believe in him, he makes it where we can move. Right? The song said there that we are freed. Our chains have been lifted, and now we're able to be united with God through his Son, Jesus. And so this is a pretty amazing gift. What did he say? Whoever believes will be saved. So have you believed in Jesus? You believe in God? You believe in his Son? Yeah, we've talked through all these things, right? And so for those who have believed, then they are part of the family. And if you're here today, it really is that simple. If you've never received Jesus, that's how, in a nutshell, kind of it works. All right, girls, you can be seated. Thank you very much. You can use that to say amen or something here in a second. Yeah, I'll point at you, and that's a... We could use that every now and again. Romans 10, 9 and 10 and Romans 10, 13 tell us that God is a great gift giver. And he has given us this gift so that we could be restored, so that we could be reunited, so what was separated could now be made whole once again. And so he really is this God who's very interested in us. He's this God who loves to give gifts. All right, let's go to the second one here today. Let's talk about the gift in return, the gift of ourselves. All right, that first verse, we didn't read it. Well, we did read it, but not back in that under that point. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies. That's talking about salvation. That's talking about what we just demonstrated. Now we're talking about giving the gift of ourselves back to God. So We started this message by saying, what's some of the greatest gifts we've ever received? But what's the greatest gift we've ever given? You have to answer that to me. What's the greatest thing you've ever given to someone? Maybe it cost a great amount, or maybe it didn't cost anything. Maybe you had to buy it, or maybe it was the gift of yourself. Whatever it is, what's the greatest gift you've ever given? What God is after is our greatest gift. And He wants us to give back to Him just as He has given towards us. So we have the great gift of His Son, Jesus, but now we have the gift of ourselves back to God. Let's go to verse 1 and let's look at this again. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So do you read anywhere in that text where God says, give me your stuff? No. So God doesn't say, give me your home, give me your car, give me your children, give me your spouse, give me your money. He's not calling for those sorts of things. What He says is, I want the gift of you. See, here's what God knows. God knows I can walk in here and give money, but not give Him me. Right? I was reading this morning Isaiah chapter 1, and Isaiah is prophesying over these Israelite people. And they're still going through the rituals of bringing sacrifices to God, but their heart's away from Him. And God says, I'm sick of you people. You disgust me. You think I need bloodshed? You think I need bulls and goats? I don't want any of that junk. I want you. And when I have you, then this is in proper order. And so God knows the same thing with us. He's not after our money or our car or our time. He's after us. And when He gets us, He knows He gets everything else with it. It's a whole package deal at that point. So He says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What does it mean to give the gift of ourself? What does it mean to give the gift of us? It means every day we wake up and we say, today, Lord, this is your day. I'm here for your glory. Whatever it is that you want to do through my life, so be it. Wherever you want to send me, I will fully follow. However encouraging or discouraging, however much it works in my favor or however much it seems to work against me, I will walk into this because you are leading. It's this full submission. It's this full surrender. So wake up and just say, use me. Use my time. Use my hands. Use my mouth. Use my knowledge. Use my experience. Use my spiritual gifts. Use my money. Use my resources. Whatever you do, use me. It's just this full-on surrender back to God. And so we wake up that way, and it's kind of the process of my day. God, here's me. Now show me opportunities. What do you want me to do with what you've given me? And so here's somebody that needs to be loved. Then you love them. Here's somebody that needs to be served, and you serve them. Here's something that's pride in your mind, and you pray about it and act on it. Right? It's looking for ways just to be that gift, looking for ways to give ourselves back to God. Now, why do we do this? And that sounds like a lot. The gift of me, I mean, it's a lot easier just to give the gift of $100 a year. Here you go, God. Throwing you a little love. Why me? In verse 1, Paul makes it clear. I urge you, brothers, in view of what? In view of God's mercies. And so what he's saying is, based on what happened up here, and this is every one of us, I have sinned and been separated from God and have no hope within myself of ever reaching to God. And God knew that, so he gave Jesus for me and for you so that there could be reconciliation, so I could be forgiven, so I could have life today, hope today, purpose today, be fulfilling my created role today, work in my spiritual gifts today, and then one day get eternity. And so he's worked all of that so that in return I would give myself back to him. And so he says here, in view of everything that God has done for you, it's really not that much that God is asking. Just give yourself back to him. Verse 2 goes on, or verse 1 in some translations says, this is your reasonable act of worship. It means it's really not that much. When I think of everything that God has done for me to give myself, all of me in return, really is no big deal. And actually, it seems kind of small, doesn't it? It seems pretty insignificant. Me? I mean, I'm the wreck. Me? I'm the sinner. Me? I'm the one that can't really do anything great on my own. Me? You want me? I think you'd be far better off with my stuff. And he says, I don't want your stuff. I want you. You are the gift that he is after. And so I want to encourage you today to live each day as a gift to the Lord. I mean, think about how you give a gift to somebody. Right? Is that what we do? I've used it. It's a tissue. None of you in this room want this. I don't really want it myself. Nobody wants it. And so we don't give gifts that way, do we? Oh, I didn't really think about you. Here you go. No, when we give gifts, we think about, man, what's he want? What's he like? What's he into? What's she into? Man, I really want to just bless her socks off. I want him just, I want him to be so surprised. Something they never even thought about. We think about things. And we think about how much we want to invest in those things. And we want this person not just to get a gift. We want them to know that they're loved and that they're cared for and that we really think of them and we're mindful of them. That's how we are to live each day towards the Lord. Live your life as a gift to God. Wake up intentional. God, how can I please you today? God, maybe I'm a little bit scared about this opportunity. And I don't know if I should walk through it, but I feel like you're prodding me, and so I'm going to walk through it because I want to please and honor you today. Live your life as a gift, not as a Kleenex that you're just throwing God's way, not as just an afterthought. Oh, I should have done something for God. Thank you for this day, and go to sleep. God is interested in gifts as well. The greatest gift you and I can ever give God, it doesn't come in an offering plate. It doesn't come through church attendance. It doesn't come in any other way. It comes from us. All of me for everything that you've done for me. Two great gifts so far. The gift of Jesus, our Savior. The gift of ourselves back to God. And then let's talk the third gift here, the gift of his church. The gift of his church. And I want to state something and then I want to try to prove it. There is nothing better on the planet than the church. Nothing. Not my family. Not my job, not my vacation that I have taken, vacations that I've taken. There's nothing better on the planet than the church. And so when we talk of church, what are we talking about? We're talking about the people. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the commission of God through those people and the work of God among those people. We're talking about His body. So this doesn't matter, right? Listen, let's be fully honest. We could look around and see this probably isn't necessary. No, this isn't necessary for us, is it? I mean, we don't need an 1,800 or 18,000, however big it is, square foot building. We couldn't possibly begin to use this place. But even if we needed every ounce of it, or could use every ounce of it, it's not necessary for there to be a church, is all I'm getting at. We can meet in a pavilion over here at Horseshoe Lake. They're here every Sunday. Little group of Hispanics and got their great big guitars and drums. You may hear them in the parking lot when you leave, and they're just over there worshiping the Lord. They don't need a building. So we're not talking about structures. We're not talking about programs. We're talking about people. And we're talking about the work of God in and through among those people. So from my perspective, there's nothing better than the church, and there's nothing better to be a part of than the church. And so it's not about being here at a certain time. It's about belonging. It's not about a structure. It's about being connected. But there's a relationship, and it's purposed, and it's useful. And it's not just something that is weekly. Let's go back to the text here, because Paul makes this pretty clear about how God has gifted his church. He says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members," and we all can prove that, we've all got pinkies and we've all got ring fingers. We've all got index, middle fingers. We've got all sorts of members on our body. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function," verse 5, "so in Christ we, though many, form" how many bodies? "One body, and each member" what? "And each member belongs to all the others." So don't misunderstand this text. This is not Paul initiating a membership class. What Paul is talking about here is a spiritual bond that exists among those who are part of the body. It's this supernatural connection of God. And so he says here, "You and I, we are members of one another." You and I are connected and fashioned in such a way that we are this one body. Not because we show up here, all right? Not because we show up here. That doesn't make us one body. We're one because God has connected us. There's that spiritual union. There's that song that we sing sometimes, bind us together, right? Because that's how we're supposed to be. That's the union of the church. It's not about, is your name on the dotted line? That's important. But more important is, are you connected with the Savior, and are you connected to His church? And so God weaves us together for His good and for our glory. And I just want to encourage you to never lose sight of that. And we'll talk through some of these gifts here for just a minute. But I want to give you an illustration first. If you've seen the movie Fireproof, have you seen the movie? If you have seen it, there's an illustration in there. It's about marriage, but it's absolutely true with the church. You've got a guy and his wife who are struggling in their marriage. So this guy sits down to talk with one of his friends. And the guy struggling in his marriage thinks the only thing I can do is get out of this thing. Or she wants out of it, and so it's just going to dissolve. Like it's going to be no big deal. And so what he does, he takes a salt shaker, and I left these in my office, and a pepper shaker, and he glues them together. All right, and so he holds them together for a while he's talking about it. And then he hands them to the guy who's struggling with his marriage, and he says, I want you to try to separate those two. They're as different as night and day, salt and pepper. Some of you in this room love salt, can't stand pepper. Some of us love pepper, can't stand salt. Some of us love salt and can't have it. We're different. And so he's looking at that, and he's trying to be real sensitive, and he ends up twisting that thing, and it just falls apart. What happens? Salt and pepper just makes a mess everywhere. Everywhere. Man and woman come together, become one. Right here, Paul says it's just like the church. We are members how? Of one another. We are members of one another. We are connected and we are very different. I understand that as you do as well. We're very diverse. Just look around. Right? There's five, and there's some who have been coming who are still in the single digit month-wise. And then there's some who had a few more numbers added to that. And so in age-wise, we're different ages. We're different life experiences. We're different abilities. We have different levels of understanding or knowledge. This week, I was just kind of doing a study with a friend about who our church is. And we're all over the place. I mean, for a group this size, and just look around, there's anywhere from 10 to 12 cities represented in this room. And that's just crazy to me. I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying your strategy's got to be different. It's not a local community church. Matter of fact, predominantly most people that come to this church don't live here. Live all out, all over the place. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying we got to think about how we do ministry, how we serve, how we get outside these doors and try to reach out to people. So all I'm really trying to say is that we're very different. We're very diverse. We have a lot of different opinions or experiences or gifts or money or abilities or time, all sorts of things. And yet what this text tells us is that God has woven us together. He is blending us together for our good and for His glory. Our good, His glory. And so, yes, we're different, but yes, we're also beautiful. So I want to encourage you, don't think you just showed up here today by accident. And don't just think that you showed up here whenever it is that you came here. I sat in a Super 8 parking lot and said, oh, no, God, please, no. And over 11 years later, it's like, oh, thank you, God. Right? So God knows what He's doing. I didn't see that. I didn't understand it clearly. I was just scared. So I was running back to what was normal and comfortable, where I felt like I could do something. God has given us this beautiful gift of His church, so He's not brought you here by accident. Your gift and my gift are to complement one another. And it's for my good, and it's for your good, and it's for the good of the communities that we live in. We work together in these walls, and we work together outside these walls to further His kingdom. And so when Paul writes here about the different gifts, it's not to exalt this person. You've got a great gift and you've got a little gift. It's not the Charlie Brown Halloween, you know. You got Skittles and I got a rock. We've all got gifts that are significant. I guarantee you, if we were cutting feet off before we walked out of today, that would affect every one of us, wouldn't it? If we cut just a member, a pinky off, we cut a thumb off, you'd be amazed at what you can't do because you don't have a thumb. So when God brings a group together, all I'm saying is there's got to be this deep commitment, deep bond towards one another. It's not as easy as just, I'm going to uproot and go somewhere else. No, you're salt and pepper, and you're going to create a mess. Just as a marriage may, when they separate, thinking this is what's best, and it creates all sorts of havoc. Listen to me, there's grace, there's mercy, there's forgiveness. We've all screwed it up in all sorts of ways, and some of the ways have been like that, where we've parted. All I'm trying to say, that's not how it's intended. It's intended to be molded, connected, glued, fashioned, stuck. That's what it looks like here, to be members one of another. And so let's think about the gift of the church for a minute. Through the gift of the church, we have this great privilege of being able to gaze at the beauty of God. And through the gift of the church, we hear these words, and they're not just taught to us, but they're there to challenge us. Through the gift of the church. You know what that's called? The gift of what? It's the first gift that Paul mentions. It's the gift of prophecy, or it's the gift of preaching. Prophesying is saying, there is a God, and you've never seen him, and neither have I. And we are sinners, and we know that. We've never seen Jesus. But one day we will give an account to this God. One day his son is coming back. I'm predicting the future based on what God has said. I'm prophesying. And in response to that, you and I are supposed to do something and act accordingly. And so we preach. We don't just throw it out there as information. Teaching, very important. It's not a superior gift. It's that you put it out there and you say, now think about it. Challenge yourself. Take this to heart. How should this influence me? Let this be changing me. That's the gift of prophecy. And so where do we get to experience the gift of preaching? Through his church. And so in the church, this gift of the church, we're able to see the wonder of God. And that's part of my role, is to exalt God high. That's why when we walk in here, we say often, it's not about us, it's about him. Let's lay aside ourselves, like the song says, and worship him. We're to gaze at him. We're to be in awe at him. We're to wonder at him. We're to be fueled by him. We're to be challenged by his spirit and his presence and his word through the gift of the church. And so through that gift, we get this thing of preaching. We get this gift of prophecy. Through the gift of the church, we also get what's called serving. We get this thing of serving, where you get to serve, and I get to serve, and you get to serve me, and I get to serve you, and we get to serve with one another. And that's awesome. It may be 100 degrees 3 weeks from now, standing under a blue canopy saying, do you want a tattoo? But standing there with you is awesome. Reaching out with you, connecting with our community, I love it. Having my kids there and your kids there and our families and grandkids, to me it's fantastic. We get to serve. We get to work. We get to see that blending of our life. And so that happens where? Through the gift of the church. Through the gift of the church. And so we've got this gift of preaching. We've got this gift of serving. We've got this gift of encouraging. And some people have it in abundance, but when we come together, we get, through the gift of the church, we get encouragement. And that's how it should work. When we walk out of this place, it shouldn't be, man, I've been beat up today. We may have been challenged. We may find some havoc in our soul today, but maybe we're encouraged to respond to that. Or maybe I came in and I was just a wreck. I've had a difficult week, and I'm encouraged that he's my God, and he has gifted his son for me. And all he's asking in return is me back. And he's blessed me with a community of people to partner with. He's blessed me with the gift of his church. And so we've got the gift of preaching. We've got that gift of serving. We've got that gift of encouragement. We've got the gift of teaching, where truth and life principles are taught. I mean, God has commissioned his truth that it would go forward out of his church. And so we teach. We teach one another here, and we teach one another outside these walls. And these things help us understand and receive and live in the gift of the church. And we've got the gift of giving. We talk about liking to, or we like to get gifts, but we get to receive gifts. And so we've got the gift of giving. For some, that's the gift of, maybe they've got financial resources, and so they can give that way. But that's not all it's about. People can give love. People can give acceptance. People can give hope. People can give encouragement. People can give strength. People can equip. People can build. All this happens through the gift of what? The church. The gift of the church. And so we find here preaching, we find encouragement, we find serving, we find teaching, we find this thing of giving. We've got this gift also, the one about extending mercy. And I'm talking about real mercy. See, much of what goes on among us, it gives us an opportunity to extend mercy and lavish it on one another just as it's been lavished on us. You know, that's hard when you get outside the walls. People don't want to hear it. You've hurt me. Go away. I'm going to knock your teeth out. And here we get a chance to extend it, to show it, just as it's been shown to us. And so we get to receive and partner in that beautiful gift of mercy where grace and forgiveness are extended, just as it's been extended towards us. See, all sorts of gifts here that God has given. And He's given it for our good and also for His glory. And so His desire, His plan is that He would unite us together, that we would participate in these things. So I'm going back to my first statement under this point three. There really is nothing like the church on the planet. Where can you be encouraged in the Lord? Where can you be led? One of the gifts is leadership. And people who can help you and people we get to lead. There are children here and young adults here who need leading. As we work to transition the baton to future generations, they need to be led. We can't just throw them out and say, help you figure it out. We're trying in our day. They've got to be led. And so where can we find leading? And where do we get to lead? Where do we find encouragement and get to encourage? Where can we find somebody serving us in our time of need and us getting to serve them? Where do we find all of these sorts of gifts? They've not been entrusted to the world. They've been entrusted to whom? The church. So often we look at church like it's an obligation or responsibility or it's a duty. It's Sunday morning. I have to go do that. And I'm sorry if that's the way you feel, because that's not how the church is supposed to be. Church isn't a place we attend. Church is a body that we're partnered to. People that we love, that we serve, and in return can love and serve us back. God didn't mess up, listen, when He joined us together. He doesn't make errors. And so His purpose here in fashioning us is for our need, for our good, and also for His glory. And so that glory happens here as we love, and that glory happens outside these walls when we touch and we reach out and we serve and we give. See, the truth of the matter is, we need one another. If we're going to impact Collinsville, Granite City, Pontoon Beach, Madison, soon to be Mitchell, Alton, East Alton, Wood River, Roxana area, South Roxana, Glen Carbon, Edwardsville, Godfrey, Shipman, all right? See what I'm saying? We're very different. But God has brought us together, a bunch of oddballs, to do something beautiful in our life and to do something for His glory through our life. We're His church. And so what I want to encourage us all today to do is just treasure His church. Treasure His church. That's where all these gifts have been given. That's where they're to work. And we can invite people to all sorts of places to have a good time, but they won't find any of that kind of stuff anywhere else than through the church. That's where God works. And I don't mean in a building, I mean through His people. Now, it can happen in a building, but we're not just the church on Sunday from 9:30 to noon. Every day, all day, God's desire and plan is that we would be the church for our good, and to affect this world and honor Him for His glory. So treasure the church. Protect it. Submit to His plan through your life in His church. And remember that we are members one of another. We are members. We're united. We're connected. And that's not by any random chance. There's great purpose. So there's all sorts of good gifts. The greatest gift is Jesus, right? And I hope you've received him. And if not, you can receive him here today. I don't have him in my possession to share like that way. I'm just an ambassador of the truth. What Miss Elaine read is true for you. It's true for me. We're all sinners. The payment for sin is death. But God gifted Jesus to us so that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, call on him, we will be what? We'll be saved. He loves to save people. And so maybe today you'd like to receive the gift of Jesus. Listen, you are a great gift as well. And to give yourself back to the Lord is all that he's asking. You know, we might think, man, we want to give all this stuff. We want to give him a church full of people. We want to give him families that honor him. We want to give him as much money as possible. We want to give him all of our mind. He wants all of us. That's what he's asking for. And how great is it that we feel like what I'm giving is not really worth a whole lot, and God says, that's all I'm asking for. That's all I'm asking for from you is you. Give me the gift of you. I want to challenge you this morning to give yourself fully to the Lord. I want to challenge you to give yourself fully to his church. We are blessed. I want to encourage us to live out this blessing with one another. Live out his mission and the partnership that God has gifted us with here.